Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Sentinel Coffee, serving Southeast with locally roasted organic coffee and door-to-door delivery. More at sentinelcoffee.com. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my next guest is Ed Littlefield. Ed, welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
Many of our listeners know you as a percussionist and much more. Perhaps you could introduce yourself and tell the good people who you are.
Okay, great. Ed Littlefield is my name. My Tlingit name is Shakindistu, born and raised in Sitka. And I live most of the time in Seattle, but I travel so much that I'm coming back home to Alaska like 4 months a year for the last 10 years. So
that's good. Good to stay in touch with your roots,
yeah,
and your family,
exactly.
And your people here. That's terrific.
Thank you. Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about your music?
Well, I'm, like you said, I'm mostly a percussionist, but the last handful of years, 10 years or so, 8-10 years, I've been doing more composition. So, and I'm actually in town for two things. One is the SHI Amplifying Our Stories, Voices on the Land grant, which is an awesome 3-year grant doing digital storytelling, performing arts, et cetera. And with students focusing on Tlingit culture and literacy, so I'm all over Southeast for that. And luckily, it coincided with Perseverance Theater's world premiere of Devilfish, and so Vera Starbird wrote "Our Voices Will Be Heard" before, and I wrote some music for that. And she wanted me again for this one, and this one's really cool production. And we can talk more about that later. But that's the why I'm here in town. And I wrote a bunch of songs for that play, new play, Devilfish.
That's terrific. And you've been a part of the Native Jazz duo, trio, and quartet.
Yeah, also. And my friend wanted me to start the Native Jazz Uno, so at some point. So I don't know if that's ever going to happen. But coming to live in Juno, the Native Jazz Uno.
That's terrific.
So, anyway.
Well, you have an instrument with you, as well as your voice and your talent. Would you like to play us something just to start us off?
Well, okay. So there's a song in the play. You all really should go see the play. It's really, there's some funny spots. There's some heavy spots, and all around just a great story that is... I'm thankful to be a part of to share. But anyway, this is a little melody and that I wrote for kind of like the berry picking song. And it's kind of like the people in the play that are just going about their daily business. And it's very short, but I'll sing it for you.
Set the stage, so to speak. All right.
Ahe-hi-ya, gunal chish ayayat wucha, ahe-hi-ya. Ahe-hi-ya, gunal chish ayayat wucha. Ahe-hi-ya, ahe-hi-ya, gunal chish ayayat wucha. Ahe-hi-ya, ahe-hi-ya, gunal chish ayayat wucha.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So that was the berry picking song from the Devilfish score.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you're just joining us, that was Ed Littlefield, musician, composer, and sound designer for Devilfish, opening this Friday at Perseverance Theater. How'd you get involved with this production? Just through knowing Vera?
Yeah. So Vera and I, and actually another Junoite, Frank Katas, we're all kind of connected into New Play, like a network of new plays, and predominantly new plays by Native people. And so Frank asked me to do one of his plays that was performing down in Native Voices at the Autry Museum in L.A. and La Jolla and Perseverance. So I kind of started there a couple years ago with him. He actually wrote in the score or in the script, "Ed will figure this out." Ed will, a couple times. It's our favorite line. He's like, got me a lot of work for that thing. And then I kind of moved on a couple months later, and Vera was like, hey, I'd like you to do some things. And I'd heard about this playwright, but we had never met. And so we chatted about things. And I think it turned out really well. The first play, Our Voices Will Be Heard, really amazing stories that need to be shared. And I'm grateful that I'm able to share my little part of it and be a part of it. So, and then she asked me again, and we had chatted about some other projects. There's some other, and I've even got a couple other projects with her in the future that are really exciting as well.
That's great news. And I meant to ask right after you finished, what did some of the words of the song mean?
Okay, so it's just one. And a lot of so that song is based off of like what we call dleguk or children's songs, like cradle songs. And so it's very easy and light going and it's very happy and it kind of tells a story, doesn't really tell a story, but it's got some sort of moral. And the moral is what you tell the story before it. So the words might or might not mean anything. Anyway, so gunachish ayaya atulcha. So thank you for all the food. And so these people are in the story are picking berries and harvesting food, and I was like, that's a great way to say thank you as they're going around and thanking the food that they're gathering in the park. So
I love it.
Yeah, and then you get to hear that a couple different times, and bonus points if you can figure out how many different ways I use that melody. So go see the show.
All right, keeping score.
Yeah.
So. When you first heard the story or read the script, like what did it make you feel? Did you hear the music in your head right away?
I usually read a script and then put it down for a little while just to get it, you know, just to give it some breath. And I was fortunate enough we had an early on script. It was quite some time ago, like I think it was before April. And it's definitely changed since then, you know, in many different ways. But just kind of get the story and then, you know, like, read it again a couple weeks later. And I think the main one I heard was the devilfish melody. So it's just ominous, but it's and surreal, bigger than life. And so I had this I have a music program that I was messing around with sounds with, and I just found this sound and created like a little extra reverb through in here, had some delay on it. And all of a sudden I was like, oh yeah, that's the sound. And I shared it with Vera and Leslie Ishii, the director, and they're like, oh, that's great. So they liked that. And then I kind of, so to answer your question, no, I didn't hear it right away. But it's definitely a process and all this creativity. The story set prehistory, so roughly 10,000 years ago. So, and it's a really, like I said, awesome story about how Tlingit people are today. You know, and what we were just talking about the other day is like it's a made up story, but it's still in the kind of the style of Tlingit storytelling, which is really cool to see because I'm a musician. I really like to take what we have from the past and put it into the future. And I think this is a great way to do that is like make up a story, but you're still using like all the nuances of how people spoke and, you know, what people are doing and how did we get these traditions. And it's really fascinating. So.
And so I just have so many questions.
Yeah, keep them coming.
I wanted to ask about the music itself. I know it's more than drum and vocals.
Yeah.
So what? How would you describe like the sounds, the instruments, the music, the score?
Okay, so there's I think I wrote five, maybe six melodies. It's hard to tell because some of them are underscore things. But I think I have a silly boy melody. I have a devilfish kind of underscore. I've got a berry picking song. There's a brother's dance. There is, now I'm blanking on all of them. But it's really cool, in my opinion, that I was really trying to base it off of other songs. And we have strict protocol rules against using, you know, clan songs and things like that. So I really, it's a fine line we walk between, and none of them are clan songs that I took from, but like there are maybe a canoe journey. So like canoe journey songs that I've had, that I've heard before have a lot of way, like time for paddling. So if you're thinking about paddling a boat, you need to have the drum beat on the paddle. And so it's kind of got a slow beat. Way, 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 aha. But you don't want to get it too close to the other one. So it's really a fine line between that. And then there's a brother's dance in there that's kind of the only one that has, I don't know how music-y you want to get, but it's the only one with kind of like a little bit out their tonal system. So I've got a couple more half steps. It's a pretty intense part of the story. So it's got a little more half steps. And like I already sang the berry picking song, which is very happy. And then the silly boy one is, how do I say this? I wanted to write something that was annoying. And quote, an earworm, because of the part in the because of the character that is being played. It's kind of an obnoxious kind of a song in a weird way. I hate to say that about my own stuff, but it's you just kind of after every night, after every tech night, I'm like, I find myself walking to my car going da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So
that's fun. Apart from being the composer, you're also the sound designer. What does it mean to be sound designer? Do you have to create sound effects?
Yeah. So I've been real Perseverance Theater has really helped me take off on that that side of things. So I first show that I worked with Perseverance was Battles of Fire and Water, directed by or written by Dave Hunsicker. And that one, I was actually trying to freelance in Seattle, and I was like, and they offered me a gig about acting, and I'm like, I don't act. I'm a musician. I do that. And they're like, oh, but we want you to write some songs too. I said, okay. So I started with that, and started, and that was kind of my first introduction to composition for theater. And then I got asked to do Raisin in the Sun. So I did the sound design for that, and I was like, what is sound design? I didn't really know. And it's really cool because composition is something that you're writing melodies, and it's technically a different thing. It's a different thing than sound design. But, you know, I really like writing my own thing, so it kind of blends into one. But for sound design is anything that needs to be shown with sound. So mm-hmm. if, you know, in Raising the Sun, I had a telephone ringing. And so we put a little speaker in this box that looked like a shelf. But when the telephone rang, the speaker, it came from that speaker. All right. Same thing in Frank's play. They had a video, which is They Don't Talk Back. Frank Attassa's play, They Don't Talk Back. He had a TV playing. So we placed a speaker in one of the places where it looked like they were watching TV. And so the sound was coming from there. So you kind of think about what the audience needs to hear to help the story go along. There's also, you know, the obvious ones like there's a stormy sea, you know, mm-hmm. you need to show the storm with your ears. And other things like even sound cues that help singers. So like trying to disguise a tone and make it not seem like the starting pitch for the song. So mm-hmm. make it build in there so it's not like, that's your pitch. Go ahead and sing, which is, you know, not, and it's really a fine line, fine dance we do. And so, yeah, and I really thank Frank Attass for putting me in those shows and Randy Reinholtz, who ran Native Voices at the Autry, Art Roach, and all of Perseverance, because I've gotten some really cool gigs out of it. So I did Oregon Shakespeare Festival a year ago, and I just did a show with Molly Smith called Sovereignty over an arena stage in D.C. last year.
Oh, wow.
So Perseverance started it all for me.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, how about we take a break from the questions and hear some more music? Would you like to play something else for us?
Well, do you got something queued up there or should I sing something? So, all right. So I always like to share this one. And this is a lot. Some of you on the airwaves might already know this song. But Clara Paradovich shared this song. Her grandmother shared this song in the early 40s. And it's called the Hook Song. And I do it. Everybody says, oh, you sing it different. But I learned it from Charlie Joseph Kotlet in Sitka when I was growing up. And I kind of like to share this because it kind of gives an idea of how what I'm thinking maybe when I'm writing new music, because I always appreciate all the visual art out there that is really pushing the edge and like going, wow, that is really contemporary native art. And we always have this thing about music, which I agree with. It's very sacred. You know, the music has the language. It also has the history inside of it. So, I really try and find balance between the two. So this is the hook song. I'm going to do it once with just a regular drum beat. So here's the hook song. Akushe weduki hak iya aha anach hawatana iya aha akushe akatsid ki iya aha 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 aya. So that's the melody. That's kind of how you would hear it. Sometimes a little slower, sometimes a little faster. But I am went to school for drumming, percussion, and I was always, as a kid, I was always messing around with the drums. So I'm going to add a little drum beat that will be different. And here it sounds like this. So that's called a 12-8 kind of Afro-Cuban type groove, and I would play that on the drum set. So I had a dream that I was sitting on my drum set, and I was singing that hook song, but I was playing this Afro-Cuban beat over the top of it. So it sounds like this. Akshe weduki hak iya aha anach kawatana iya aha akshe akatsidki iya aha 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 aya. And so you get that mixture of those two cultures, and it's, you know, it's really amazing. I'm still doing my hardest to working hard to keep the melody the same, to keep like that's not something I do unless I write my own melody. So that's that. That's my song. There you go. That's
Thank
my
you.
Little reimagination of the hook song.
I was wondering if you'd tell me a little bit about your drum.
Yeah. Okay. So this drum is a Behr. And I'm Kagwantan, and so we can use a bunch of different clans' crests. So Behr, killer whale, wolf, and eagle, of course. And this was actually a graduation present from my mom. She had my dad commission it, but it was her idea. And it's a drum that she made, and I don't think it has the number on it, but my mom, Robbie Littlefield Kutlek, is a prolific drum maker. I think she's in the 300s now of number of drums she's made. So
oh, wow.
I think this is probably in the 200s range, but it's all there's no metal parts in it. So it's really cool. And the drum design, the Behr, is a personal design by Harold Jacobs. He created this whole design and painted it on the drum. It's got a little sea otter fur on the back for decoration, and it's like super soft when you put your arm on it. It's like, oh, yeah. And if you ever think about something. And my super secret, no, it's not really a secret, but this drum also travels with me pretty much wherever I go. So I was in Venezuela with Gene Tagaban, and he lives down south near me, but he's a great storyteller. He worked for Nakahiti Theater years ago. Great actor, singer, everything. Anyway, I've got a little bag in here, and it says Embajada de los Estados Unidos. So it's from the Caracas U.S. Embassy in
wow.
my bag. Because when I was in those really dry climates down there, my drum was really ringing a lot. So anyway, that's my drum story.
That's fantastic.
So I've had it for over 20 years.
I was going to say, it looks like it's been with yeah. you a long time and goes with you everywhere, and I
yeah.
knew it would have a good story.
That's yeah, great. And this is Diamond Willow drumstick, also handmade by my mom.
Wow. So. That's fantastic. Well, Ed Littlefield, thanks so much for joining me today. We are just about out of time. Ed's the composer and sound designer for Devilfish, opening at Perseverance this Friday. Yes, gunashish for being here
today.
And have a great opening night.
Thank you.